Solomonster, back with you for the second straight night here on a Thursday. We had fun last night talking AEW Dynamite. We're going to do it again. I'm pumped for Rampage tomorrow night. But tonight we are talking WWE SummerSlam. It is time for SummerSlam 2021 preview and predictions. You know, I have a lot of fond memories of SummerSlam from over the years. I've seen them all. I can remember being a wee boy watching SummerSlam with my brother and my father and my grandfather. We didn't have cable back then, so, you know, we'd have to go over to family's house to watch the shows. One of my favorite events all year. So I have a lot of fond memories of SummerSlam. Big Boss Man shipping the Mountie off to the, I was going to say the county jail. It was the jail right here in Manhattan. Overnight, sharing a jail cell with some guy wearing black leather. All those funny skits during the pay-per-view. I have fond memories of Bret Hart and Owen Hart doing battle inside a steel cage at the United Center, in fact. SummerSlam 1994. I have fond memories of the whole Highway to Hell hype for SummerSlam 98 in Madison Square Garden. God, it was so much fun just to follow along with everything going on at that time. It was such a hot build to that show. Great video package, great go-home video package to that event. Shawn Michaels, of course, making his return to the ring in 2002 against Triple H. Who can forget that? A fantastic comeback for him. Brock Lesnar annihilating John Cena in 2014. Oh, it always brings a smile to my face to go back and watch that every now and then. And, of course, Becky Lynch. WWE thinking that they were turning Becky Lynch heel. On Charlotte Flair at SummerSlam back in 2018. They actually believed that they were turning this woman heel. That was supposed to be a heel turn. And then they spent a month after that having her go out there and cut promos on the fans for not supporting her. For not being on her side. For not backing her up. These people are idiots, is what they are. To actually think that that would work. How they make money in spite of themselves. Honestly, I sometimes think that it should be a case study for a business class at like a major business school somewhere. How this company continues to profit and make millions and billions of dollars in spite of themselves is quite remarkable. Like and subscribe. We have picked up a whole bunch of new subscribers and members, channel members too. You guys are awesome. In fact, we had some just a few minutes ago. We have two new members in the last 10 minutes that we picked up. So I want to say welcome to all of you. Do hit that thumbs up because it does help the video. Super chats are open. We are going to be reading all of your super chats later on here in the stream. I want you to hit me with those SummerSlam predictions. Let's go. I'm going to be giving you mine. I want yours too. So drop a super chat if you want. If you do, drop those SummerSlam predictions. Let me know what you guys think is going to happen, who the big winners are going to be. Let me see them. SummerSlam falls on a rare Saturday this year. Usually their events are on Sundays, but this year it's on a Saturday. This Saturday. From Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada, over 42,000 tickets last I checked. Shout out to WrestleTix on Twitter. They have a great account. They have a Patreon. You should go check it out. 42,000 plus. That is the number of tickets that are out for this show. Not quite a sellout, but pretty close to the, I guess, the allotment of tickets that they had. I mean, the stadium fits a lot more than that, but that's going to be the largest single-day crowd for a wrestling event since the beginning of the pandemic. You know, WrestleMania this year was a two-night event. Both nights had between 20 and 25,000, I believe. So this will be the biggest single-day audience for a show in a very long time. I know many of you are waiting to find out who is the big celebrity presence SummerSlam this year. Who's the big artist? Who's the big celebrity they're going to be bringing in on the show? I know so many of you care about this kind of thing. We got the announcement yesterday that DJ Valentino Khan. DJ Valentino Khan is the big celebrity get for this show. Well, actually, you know what? John Cena probably would be the big celebrity get for this show. The guy's got like three or four different movies out at the same time right now. They already got their big celebrity in the main event. His name is John Cena. But DJ Khan would be number two. He'll be performing on the show. Performing what? I have no idea, but he'll be performing. You know, I'm losing track of all my cons in the wrestling business. I know there's a lot of con men in the wrestling business, but we've got Nick Khan, we've got Tony Khan, we've got DJ Khan. Soon they're going to bring in James Khan. They could have brought him in to make a celebrity appearance. Is he alive? Is James Khan still alive? No? Yes, maybe. Is he dead? Good, dig him up, put him at SummerSlam. Got a lot of cons. PW Insider says that WWE made a play for Iron Mike Tyson to do a voiceover for the opening video of the pay-per-view, which is going to be focused very heavily on Roman Reigns against John Cena. They tried to get Iron Mike, who is in their Hall of Fame, but they were unsuccessful. Of course they were. Iron Mike. Iron Mike is All Elite. Don't they know? He's already made a whole bunch of appearances. Iron Mike is All Elite, so he will not be a part of SummerSlam this year. So we've got one SmackDown left tomorrow night before the pay-per-view. The card looks to be complete with 10 matches. I could see them adding a match at the last minute. I could see them adding a match for the Money in the Bank briefcase between Big E and Baron Corbin based on what happened on SmackDown this past week. Even though, logically, there really shouldn't be any debate as to who owns the briefcase. It is not the 24/7 title. You shouldn't be able to just take it and run. But I could see them adding a match like that, if not on TV tomorrow night, doing it maybe on the kickoff show on Saturday, which would leave Big E available potentially for other things. We'll get into that. We'll get to that in a little bit. Thank you, by the way. I see a bunch of comments in the chat. I do keep an eye out for what you guys are saying. Thank you for the compliments on the shirt. I wanted something busy. I was feeling very busy tonight. I said, this is a very busy shirt. It's got dragons and shit. You can't really see the whole thing, but I like it. So in the battle of Raw versus SmackDown, when you really look at this SummerSlam card this year, again, 10 matches deep, when you look at the two brands side by side and the card they put together here, it's like it's a complete slaughter. I don't see how anybody can look at this card and say, boy, I'm more excited about Monday Night Raw and their matches than I am SmackDown. You'd have to be friggin' brain dead to think that. I don't see how anybody in their right mind can look at this pay-per-view and actually say and judge and determine that this card is made stronger by the Raw side of the card than the SmackDown side. Impossible. This is so one-sided. Honestly, you could chop off the entire Raw side of the card and really, except for the Raw Tag Team title match, which I am, you know, looking forward to, you could chop off the whole Raw side of this pay-per-view on Saturday and wouldn't matter to me. Wouldn't make a lick of difference. All the matches I'm looking forward to the most are still there. I think it's actually, it's a great example of, I think, how the brands stack up right now. Not that SmackDown is an A-plus show every single week. But when you judge them side by side, Raw and SmackDown at the moment, there is no comparison. That's how bad Raw is. It's not even a fact that SmackDown is so great. It's like it was, you know, in the grand days of SmackDown from 2002 and 2003. Raw is so bad. It's just so weak at the moment that there really is no comparison between the two brands. And you hope that if these rumors and reports are true that we're going to be getting another draft or a shakeup or whatever they're going to call it in October, that might be the only way that we can really shake things up on Raw and try to start fresh. Because this brand is just killing me. Absolutely killing me. Case in point that I was just making, we begin Alexa Bliss one-on-one at SummerSlam this Saturday, takes on Eva Marie. We've got Finn Balor. We've got the new Intercontinental Champion, Shinsuke Nakamura. We've got Shayna Baszler. We've got Toni Storm. All of them. What do they have in common? They are all left off the SummerSlam card. But Eva Marie has a match. Such is the state of Raw. Not only does she have a match, it revolves around a possessed doll. Now, I don't remember who it was in the chat a few minutes ago who suggested that they don't think Eva Marie will actually be wrestling at SummerSlam. They think it's all just a swerve. and that she's going to have a surprise, maybe another person, not Doudrop, to take her place in the match. I'd love that. I would love that. Because the prospects of Eva Marie one-on-one against Alexa Bliss, that doesn't exactly inspire a lot of enthusiasm on my part. I don't look at this SummerSlam card and go, man, I can't wait to see Eva Marie step in the ring with Alexa Bliss. But that is the match as it stands right now. Honestly, the best thing that could come out of this, besides Cesaro running out there to rip the doll to shreds the way he did that beach ball at SummerSlam a few years ago, that would be great. The best thing to do would be, I think, to use this match as a means to split Piper Niven away from Eva Marie. Now, I don't remember offhand how long this storyline has been going on for. I know it hasn't been a long time, but it feels like it's been at least a few months already. This is the way that they chose to introduce this woman to the world. Some of you knew who Piper Niven was from NXT UK. Some of you knew her as Viper from the UK indie scene. A lot of people didn't know her. A lot of people didn't have any exposure to her. So for a lot of fans, their first exposure to this woman in wrestling was through Doudrop, who was there to serve at the pleasure of Eva Marie for reasons. We'll just say reasons. Now that some time has passed, we've established the fact that this woman is a sympathetic character. Every time she goes to speak, Eva cuts her off. Every time she does something wrong, Eva yells at her and insults her and smacks her in the face like she did on Raw Monday night. So they have positioned her as a sympathetic character. They want people to feel sorry for her. I have to assume with the idea that at some point she's going to wake up to what Eva is doing to her and she's going to stand up for herself, right? That's what I would hope this is leading to. Well, on Raw this past Monday, I mentioned that, you know, Eva was smacking her around. And I'm watching this and I'm going, at some point soon, Doudrop has to stand up for herself. Why not just go ahead and just split the two of them apart? They've established her and let her finally go off on her own. And this is the perfect opportunity to go ahead and do that, because here you have this match. Eva Marie is supposed to be wrestling on Saturday. Now would be a great time for Doudrop to, you know, maybe inadvertently, not on purpose, but, you know, by accident. She's trying to help Eva, or Eva's asking her for her help. It backfires. It blows up in her face. Eva Marie loses. She blames Doudrop for the loss. You go to Raw the next night. You don't even have to do this at SummerSlam. You go to Raw the next night. Eva calls her into the ring, and she is just ripping this woman in front of the world. Just saying awful things about her. And again, she's putting her hands on her. She's shoving her. She's slapping her. You know, you're worthless. You're this, you're that. Whatever insult she wants to hurl at her. And finally, Doudrop has had enough. And she stands up for herself and she squashes Eva. And now you've got Doudrop breaking away on her own, hopefully under a different name and not Doudrop. This angle with Eva has served its purpose. You've now established her as this great new, you know, babyface in the women's division on this show. But to get there, Eva has to lose. And she has to blame her loss on Doudrop. And so I have Alexa Bliss going over here in the match, which I know will please. I don't know if BlissBot is in the chat with us. They usually drop in sometimes. But yes, for all the BlissBots out there, I do believe that Alexa Bliss is going to win and should win this match. We have Sheamus defending the United States Championship against Damian Priest. Priest has been on a hot streak on TV. If you remember, he pinned Sheamus on Raw a few weeks ago in one of those championship contenders matches to earn the right to go to SummerSlam and challenge for the U.S. title. He beat Miz on Monday with Sheamus' own brogue kick. He's beaten John Morrison about 18 times in the last few weeks, or going back even to WrestleMania. That's what it feels like. This non-stop parade of matches involving Damian Priest and The Miz and John Morrison. We get it. It's good that he keeps winning and they're not doing 50-50 with him, but I think we've had our fill. Enough. But he's been on a hot streak. He's been winning all of his matches. So now we come to the pay-per-view. The title is on the line. And I say, why give it away in the first match? Why do we need the title change here? Right? This is the first championship match between the two of them, not counting the non-title match they had on TV a few weeks ago. Why give it away in the first match? We know there's going to be more matches between these two. We know it's not going to be one and done at SummerSlam. Nor should it be. This is a program that you can get a few matches out of. So I don't think the title change needs to happen here. I think Sheamus makes use of the face mask that he's been wearing. I think he steals a win. And he retains the title. And I think Damian Priest will get the championship later on, but I don't think it happens at SummerSlam. So I'm picking Sheamus to retain. Adam says, you said Damian. I was hoping for Sandow. No Damian Sandow. I believe he's still with the NWA. Is Aaron Stevens still with the NWA? I haven't watched any recent Power episodes. Man, went down the wrong pipe. You know, it's sad. I see a lot of comments in the chat from people talking about the fact that they're not excited for SummerSlam. When they announced that SummerSlam was coming to a football stadium and they were going to put, 40 or 50,000 people in the building, it got me excited because we haven't really seen a big show like that. I know they did WrestleMania in a stadium, but yeah, I was hoping when I heard that it was going to be all hands on deck for this show, that it really would be all hands on deck, and not just in terms of the big names and the talent that they would use, but in terms of the creative. You know, we hear all hands on deck. Let's go get Brock. Let's go get Undertaker. Let's go get John Cena. Let's bring back Becky. Like, there's any number of big names that you can bring in. But what about the creative team? How come we can't have all hands on deck when it comes to the creative team? Or is this all hands on deck, and this is as good as it gets? Because for all the writers they employ in this company, I would like to think that, you know, they could certainly do better than a lot of the crap that we see on Monday nights. So I look at this card and I have to agree. You know, there are some matches that I am excited about. But I thought that the excitement level for SummerSlam would be a lot higher than it is. And I it's not just people in the chat here. I see it on social media as well. You know, I think people are looking forward to SummerSlam. And I think it can end up being a very good show. But the hype level, it just isn't there. And that's too bad because SummerSlam, again, is typically one of the shows each year that I look forward to the most. I'm just grateful that it's not inside the Thunderdome, the award-winning WWE Thunderdome. At least we're going to get it in front of actual people. We have the Usos defending the SmackDown Tag Team titles against Rey and Dominic Mysterio. There's a great video that WWE has posted on his, I'm assigning genders now to WWE, on their YouTube channel. I don't know if you saw it. It went up earlier today. It was Rey and Dominic. They were doing some kind of promotion for wings or something. I don't know. But they had them sitting at a table rewatching the ladder match from SummerSlam in 05 between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero over the custody of Dominic. So Dominic was talking about what it was like to be part of that whole storyline. It's an interesting video. If you didn't see it, if you're not aware of it, later on you can go on their channel and check it out. It's probably about 10 minutes long. And it's just them eating wings and chicken while they watch the ladder match. It's good to see an Eddie Guerrero match. Anytime they post an Eddie Guerrero match is a good thing. I don't think anybody is doubting that the Usos and the Mysterios are going to go out there and have a very good match. I think the match itself will be very good. I think it'll be very sound. These are, you know, the Usos, despite recent controversy involving one half of the team. They are one of the best teams in the world. Nobody is doubting their ability, and nobody is doubting their track record of having good matches. I don't see a tag team title change happening here. In fact, they've been dropping little hints on television that there could be dissension in the ranks of the family between Rey and Dominic. You know, Rey almost chastising his son, trying to teach him, you know, you've been sloppy, or, you know, you've taken your eye off the ball, you haven't been paying attention. I think that that's being done for a reason. I think it's building to something. I don't think there's a split that happens on this show, but I do think there could be one of these miscommunication spots that leads to their loss. That furthers the storyline to the eventual split where, you know, maybe Dominic just is tired of his father kind of browbeating him on TV. You know, the teenage angst. Although I guess he's not a teenager anymore, but that sort of thing. I think that's where this is going. The Usos are not going to lose the titles here, so they are my pick to retain the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Yes, I do believe Dominic could be headed for a heel turn very soon. The Boy Wonder. The Boy Wonder may be going heel. Fried Chicken Without Flavor is joining us tonight. Hey, Jacob McDonald just became a channel member. Look at that. Man, we have picked up a whole bunch of channel members in the last 10 days. I can't thank you guys enough. We've had a whole crush of new members. And let me tell you something. You guys are joining just in time because earlier this week, I posted an hour-long video Q&A sitting right here answering your questions that went up in a members-only thread. And we're going to be doing more of those. That's for members only on all tiers. So if you're a brand new channel member, be sure to go back and check out that video from earlier in the week. Lakers Pat says, nice nightclub shirt. Well, you know, hey, Solid Monster's getting ready to go. Why do you think I did the stream at 8 o'clock tonight? You know, we gotta get out of here early so the Solid Monster can hit the clubs tonight, you know? Wait, I mean, come on. This is the pregame right here. We're pregaming here on YouTube. We've got Drew McIntyre taking on Jinder Mahal. Oh, joy. The two former 3MB stablemates going one-on-one with Veer and Shanky banned from ringside. We will not have to contend with Veer or Shanky on this show. You know, I'm glad that this isn't for the WWE Championship. That was my initial concern when Jinder came back. I think Drew was still the champion at that time, or maybe he had just lost it. He was trying to get it back. But my concern was that this was going to be a WWE Championship match, possibly heading into SummerSlam. Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal for the WWE title, that is not a SummerSlam main event. That is not a WrestleMania main event. It just did not seem like a match strong enough to be contended for the top championship. So at least it's not for the title. But this whole feud revolving around not a title, but a sword. A sword. This man brandishes a sword on television every week and he threatens to decapitate and maim his opponents. I feel like I'm watching an old episode of Highlander. Are we supposed to believe that every single week Veer and Shanky and Jinder Mahal, when they run away from Drew, are fearful that they're going to be impaled by this sword? I mean, it's preposterous. You're bringing us back to the days of the Berserker in 1992. The dark days, business-wise, of 1990. I mean, I love 1992, don't get me wrong. But that's what this is. We're going backwards. We're not going forwards here. We're going back. So the whole premise of this is just completely ridiculous. I don't honestly know who finds this interesting or compelling. But I can tell you I am not one of those people. Unless Drew chops off an arm or a leg here, I don't really see the point. But he should not be losing here. So I am picking Drew McIntyre for the win. I am predicting a victory for him. This is going to continue, though, because I don't see any other obvious next feud for McIntyre. When you look at the Raw roster, if he just goes and he beats Jinder Mahal, what's next for Drew? What's next for Drew McIntyre? Because he's not going to go right back to challenging for the WWE Championship. He already did that plenty of times. He needs to be kept away from the title for a while. So if he's out of the main title picture, I know he and Sheamus regret the fact that they didn't have a WrestleMania program this year. They're hoping to revisit it in the future. Do you go back to Drew and Sheamus? You know, either for the U.S. title or just to do it one-on-one? You can't really go back to that well yet because to me it's too soon. It's still too fresh to go right back to that. Keith Lee is on the Raw roster, but we don't even know what his status is going to be. He first came back. They're giving him dark matches so that he can get his win back until they figure out what to do with him. And then if you do that, who's the heel and who's the face? So this is the problem, right? This is the challenge here. I'm not really enamored with this feud, but if Drew McIntyre beats Jinder and that's it, what do you do with Drew McIntyre? So I'm almost positive that this is the first of what is going to be at least a handful of matches between these two. I honestly think somebody who would benefit the most from a draft in October is Drew McIntyre. But until you get to October, he needs someone to feud with, and I think that person is going to be Jinder Mahal, whether he wins or loses. I don't see this as being the end of this program. Lakers Pat says 24/7 title. So you're going to have Drew chasing after Reginald for the next few months? Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Nikki Ash defends her Raw Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley in a triple threat match. On Raw Monday night, the champion, the Raw Women's Champion, lost twice in one night. Not the first time we've seen her lose on TV recently. And I get that she's playing the underdog character, but she lost twice on Raw this past Monday night. First in a singles match to Rhea, and then in a tag team match teaming with Rhea. They lost to Charlotte and Nia Jax. You know, this Nikki Ash stuff, it's really bad. I mean, really bad. It's just bad television. They need to get that title off of her. I think they do. I think they get the championship off of her this Saturday, and I think it ends up back on the Queen. I think it ends up back around Charlotte Flair's waist. Charlotte has been name-dropping Becky Lynch on television, and largely it's been reactionary. It's the crowd who mentions Becky. They chant Becky's name, and she responds. So it's not necessarily a case where they're writing it into the show on purpose, but she has mentioned Becky now multiple times on TV over the past few weeks, and she mentioned that, you know, she's busy at home breastfeeding, you know, the baby, not Seth. Well, maybe Seth. I don't know. I don't know what they do in that house. But I don't think that's entirely by accident, though. And I've seen the reports that Becky Lynch is going to be in Vegas this weekend. In fact, she's expected to be at SummerSlam, not necessarily on camera, but she has been at other WWE events recently, and she hasn't appeared on TV. She's going to be there this weekend. She's been training. She's posting pictures on Instagram and stuff. So clearly she is preparing for a comeback very soon. We don't know when, but she is going to be coming back very soon. I think Charlotte, here on this show, wins the championship, and then the next night on Raw, Becky Lynch returns. She returns on Raw the next night to confront Charlotte Flair and ultimately challenge for the title that she never lost. She was the Raw Women's Champion last year, and she never got pinned, and she never was made to submit. She gave it up because she was pregnant. She basically handed the title over to Asuka after Asuka won the Money in the Bank briefcase. So she has a legitimate claim to coming back, and if she wants to, going right back after the championship, if that's the brand that she ends up on. Now, I understand Seth is on SmackDown, Becky is on Raw. We have a draft coming up. There is some kind of shakeup coming up to these rosters in October. It's not that far off. We're only a couple of months away from this alleged draft that has been rumored and reported. So I could see a short 2-month program between her and Charlotte to kind of bridge the gap. And then when you get to that point that they shake up the rosters, they end up on separate rosters. They're not going to be on the same show. I could see Becky staying on Raw and Charlotte going to SmackDown, or you can send Becky to SmackDown if that's where Seth Rollins is going to be, because I'm sure they're going to want to travel together. But that's how I see this playing out. I think that Becky is coming back. I think Charlotte is going to win the championship because, of course, she is. Now, as far as Nikki Cross goes, you know, I understand that Nikki came up with this idea, this new gimmick, this new character. She put a lot of thought into it. It was a long process. She got them to approve it. And she's put a lot of her own energy into it. I understand all that. And I think that's great. And I think more talents in WWE, if they aren't already, should be allowed to not just pitch ideas, but be allowed to go ahead and sort of make it their own and be a little more hands-on with stuff and be proactive in coming up with ideas. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but what I am saying is that Just because they have the ability to do that does not mean that every idea the talent comes up with is going to be good. And this, to me, is an example of that. But it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. There are ways to make it better. There are ways to make it more interesting. You know, when she loses that championship, and I think that it begins with a dark turn. And I'm not talking about Suicide Squad dark, you know, superhero, supervillains. I'm not talking that level of dark, but I think all that stuff about believing in yourself and, you know, I almost did it, and I can, you know, I proved tonight, even though I lost, that I can almost win. Oh, God. Give me a break. All that crap, all right, all that nonsense. She could start taking shortcuts to win her matches, you know, because she's not having a lot of luck. She lost her championship. She's down on her luck. So she starts taking shortcuts here and there, whatever that might be, whatever that might look like, to start winning matches and kind of getting her momentum back. She cheats to win, but then she celebrates as if she won clean, you know, fair and square. And even the announcers, they begin calling her out for it, but she just pretends she has no idea what they're talking about, completely ignores it. Like Bo Dallas. Remember Bo Dallas when he was the NXT champion? All you have to do is believe. He was so full of himself. He believed in everything he said, as ridiculous as it was. He was completely, what, there's a word for it, he delusional. That's what it was. He was completely delusional. And it can be a similar type of thing. It could be a similar type of character that she plays. You know, he's a great example, I think, of someone who took this just vanilla, boring, corny character, and he found a way to make it interesting. Now, that was more comedic, but he found a way to make it work. He found a way to make it, to me anyway, he found a way to make it interesting. So you could take something that is clearly corny, but you can make it corny in an entertaining way. So I don't think that it's impossible to make this gimmick appeal to more than just six-year-old girls, which I understand is probably who they're going after with this character, even though six-year-old girls are not the ones who are necessarily watching her segments when they put her at the end of the show sometimes, and I see Nikki A.S.H. in the Raw main event at 10:55 p.m. I'm wondering what six-year-old girl is up watching Nikki A.S.H. I assume they're watching it on YouTube on their tablet the next day. But yes, I understand, because I know people are going to react and go, oh, Solomonster, it's for the kids, it's for the kids. I don't care. I want good television. I want television that is going to be appealing and entertaining and interesting. This is not entertaining. This is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But it doesn't have to be. There are ways to tweak it and change it a little bit and adapt it and make it more appealing and make it work. And I'm hoping that that's what they do. Think about the children. Think about the job. I'm thinking about all of you. All of you who message me every week and you complain about the same stuff. I'm looking out for you guys. Goldberg. Goldberg and Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship. I don't expect this to last very long. The match that Goldberg had with Drew back in January at the Royal Rumble went about 2.5 minutes, so I would not expect this to go, I don't think this, frankly, needs to go very much longer than that. Goldberg's son, Gage, who, of course, if any of you watch the streams or if you listen to the podcast every week when I talk about Raw, I refer to him as Sunberg. Sunberg will no doubt be in attendance. I'm sure Sunberg will be in Vegas. I'm sure Sunberg will be ringside to watch his father go one-on-one with the WWE champion. And I think he could very well play a role in the finish of this match. Now, maybe, you know, one scenario is that Gage is threatened in some way during the match. Whether it's by Lashley, MVP, maybe they grab him or they're just kind of crowding him and intimidating him and threatening to do something to this 15-year-old kid, whatever it may be. But they threaten him after Goldberg hits a spear and it looks like Goldberg is going to hit the jackhammer and win. That's when, you know, MVP goes over and grabs his son by the the neck or something, you know, and that distracts Goldberg, which then leads to his downfall. I was thinking about that, and some of you have suggested that to me. I hate that. I hate that idea. I hate that idea because if you do it that way, what it implies is that Goldberg had the match won. He had Bobby Lashley beat. He was going to win the championship, and then the only reason he didn't is because somebody put their hands on his son. And so therefore, he was distracted, and that's the only reason he lost. That is a terrible, terrible idea. I would not do it that way. I would give Goldberg a couple of big spots. You're not going to squash him, right? You still need him. He's going to wrestle more matches. We know this. We know he's going to be wrestling more matches. Maybe not this year. I think he's hit his quota after this. But next year, and possibly the year after that, I think he's under contract for more matches. And that's fine. As long as it's not for the WWE Championship. So give him a couple of big spots in this match. And otherwise, Lashley, I think, should dominate. Much the way that Drew did in his match with Goldberg earlier this year. Goldberg does the honors, but for Lashley and MVP, that's not enough. Even though they get the win here and they get the W, they retain the title, they're heels. They're evil, vicious heels. It's not enough. And that's when the match is over. That's when they go over to Goldberg's son, who maybe gets in the ring to help out his dad, or he's all concerned about his father. Now they go over to Goldberg's son and they start to harass him. And they start to sort of imply that they might do something to this kid when all of a sudden we hear Big E's music. Now this is, of course, assuming that Big E is still going to be in possession of the Money in the Bank briefcase, so you can wrestle it away from Baron Corbin. I guess we'll see tomorrow night on SmackDown what they do there. But down comes Big E to save the day, but he's got the briefcase. Lashley is distracted by this as Big E is coming down to the ring, and this goes on long enough where Goldberg has now recovered. Goldberg has recovered, and now knowing what these two guys tried to do to his son, he is not happy. And when Bobby Lashley turns around, he gets speared. He gets a vicious spear. Down he goes. Maybe MVP gets speared as well. He gets taken down. And that paves the way then for Big E to cash in his Money in the Bank and win the WWE Championship. And that is my prediction for this match. I think all of the Big E teases on SmackDown lately with Paul Heyman, teasing that he's going to cash in on Roman Reigns, holding the briefcase and making funny faces, I think it's all just, it's meant to throw us off the scent of what they're actually going to be going for here. I think it's almost too obvious that he would go after Roman Reigns. I think the play here is for him to go after Bobby Lashley and win the WWE Championship. And remember, they said the Money in the Bank contract could be cashed in on any champion that the winner wishes. They didn't say that just because Big E is on SmackDown, he can only go after the Universal title. I vividly remember them mentioning this on TV. So if they are to be believed, he can technically go after the WWE Championship. He is not limited to only going after Roman Reigns. That's only what I think they want you to believe. That's my prediction for how I see this playing out. And then you get a little New Day reunion on Raw. Although I am tired of the New Day, but I know some people will be happy to see them reunited on the same brand again if Big E then ends up on Monday Night Raw. So I think Lashley retains against Goldberg, and then Big E cashes in and he wins the WWE Championship. And Big E ends up on Raw. Because as I look at Big E on SmackDown, outside of doing the program with him and Roman Reigns, it's the same thing. It's almost like, who else is left for him to feud with? No obvious heels really for him to go after. So him ending up on Raw, whether it's now, whether it's in a couple of months, I think is very likely. Yes, Heb in the chat says, but Corbin has the briefcase. As I just mentioned, this is pending him getting the briefcase back. We don't know how they're going to follow up on this. We will find out on Raw tomorrow night. If you missed the beginning of the review, or not the review, but the predictions here, I do think that they could do a match between them, which is completely stupid because it's Big E's briefcase. As I said before, this is not the 24/7 championship. But I'm sure in storyline they'll come up with some ridiculous reason why Big E has to wrestle him for it. So if we assume that Big E will be in possession again of the briefcase, this is how I see things playing out. And Jake in the chat says, what about Apollo Crews? What about him? What about him? I think we all know where Apollo Crews is going to end up. He's going to end up right in the back of the line where he used to be. Which is too bad, because I thought he was doing a good job, but look at the way that he's been booked since he won the Intercontinental title before he lost it. He lost most of his matches on TV. Hell of a champion. Hell of a champion. And then he lost it to Nakamura. He is not getting the belt back. Apollo Crews as the Intercontinental Champion is done. You're done, son. You're done. That's it. That's what Vince McMahon said. Get to the back of the line. Randy Orton and Matt Riddle, RK-Bro, challenge AJ Styles and Omos for the Raw Tag Team titles last Monday night. This was probably the biggest thing they did on the show. The crowd was really into this. It was the reunion of Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. Riddle came to Orton's aid in the middle of the show, and Orton got on the mic and talked about how appreciative he was, and I can't believe I'm doing this, but RK-Bro is back. So they are now reunited officially, and they are going to challenge. This is always where this was leading to. That's why when people were suggesting that Orton is going to RKO him and they're going to have a match at SummerSlam, I said, you're out of your mind. Why would they have a match against each other at SummerSlam? You haven't even done the tag team title match yet. You've got fans back in the buildings now. And I figured this was something that the fans would be into. And then, sure enough, it's probably the most popular thing on all of Raw right now is Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. How are you going to split them up and feud them when they haven't even had a run at the tag team titles? It made no sense. Of course, it was all building to this. To me, there's no reason not to do the title change here. You don't have to milk this. This has to be the big moment where the two of them get the big win. They celebrate as the unlikely tag team champions and let them have a run. And after a while, yeah, then you can feud them. But that's like months down the road. You don't have to do that now. Randy Orton and Matt Riddle are going to win the Raw Tag Team titles, and that is going to be the end of AJ and Omos. Possibly on Raw the next night. No reason to keep them together once they lose the belts. We have Edge one-on-one with Seth Rollins. Now, I should say that I do believe one of the part-time legends will get a win on this show. Goldberg, I think, is going to lose, as he should. And John Cena, we'll talk about him in a second here. But I do believe at least one of the part-time legends will get a win on this show. And of the three, it is going to be Edge. I'm picking Edge to win this match over Seth Rollins. Edge is due for a win. He lost to WrestleMania. He came back. He lost again to Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank. Thanks to Seth Rollins. They're taking this feud all the way back to that Raw angle in 2014 where Rollins threatened to break Edge's neck. I like that. I like the fact that they're actually calling back to an old storyline. That's not something they do very often. So I like that. But everything seems to be geared towards Edge finally getting his revenge for everything that Seth Rollins has done to him. The babyface, you know, sometimes the babyface has to get his revenge. The heel has to get his comeuppance. And I understand that Rollins is full-time and Edge is not. But I don't see all of the part-timers or the legends on this show losing their matches. I don't think this should be like a fully loaded 2000 thing either, where if you remember Fully Loaded 2000, we had Undertaker against Kurt Angle, we had Triple H against Chris Jericho, and we had Rock against Chris Benoit. And at the time, Angle, Jericho, and Benoit were all still relatively new in WWE. They hadn't even been there yet for a full year. And it was almost like they represented this new era that was rising up in the company. And they all lost on that show. Angle and Undertaker, I remember, had a pretty bad match. I mean, they had much better matches years later. Jericho and Triple H had a fantastic match, but Jericho lost. And Benoit lost. So it's almost like they were just trying to break them in, you know? Let's just beat them all. But I think the one who came out of it the best was Jericho, because he at least, you know, he only lost by the skin of his teeth. I don't think it's an all or nothing game here. I think there is going to be one legend in this case who walks away with the win. And I believe it's going to be Edge. I don't see this being a one and done attraction either. I think we're going to get more than one match between these two. So Rollins will get his win ultimately. But I don't think it happens at SummerSlam. But the match itself should be really good. I think this will be a really good match. Speaking of really good matches, we come to the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bianca Belair defends against the former champion, Sasha Banks. This is a rematch from night one of WrestleMania 37. There were rumors earlier this week that there was internal concern in the company that this match might not take place at SummerSlam. Both women were missing, I think, two different live event appearances. They were scheduled to be on live house shows. They both missed them. They were being very vague about why. They only said due to unforeseen circumstances, Sasha Banks cannot appear, Bianca Belair cannot appear. I was thinking maybe it was COVID-related. It has not been said explicitly that it's COVID-related, but we have this update here from PW Insider. For those wondering about the status of Sasha and Bianca after they missed this past weekend's WWE live events in the Carolinas, PW Insider has been told that they are cleared to perform, and barring something unforeseen, they will be at SmackDown on Friday and SummerSlam this coming weekend. So, good. I was a little worried about that because, truth be told, this is one of the matches I am looking forward to the most on this show. This actually might be the number two match behind the main event that I am looking forward to on this show. Bianca Belair has not had what I would call an eventful title reign since she won the championship at WrestleMania. That is largely, I think, a product of the weak division they've given her to work with on TV. I see nothing wrong with her work. I think she has done a fine job, and I think she's very good, especially for her experience level. She's still relatively inexperienced compared to everybody else on the roster, except maybe Dominic and Reggie, who's also a champion. So I think the weak division, the weak sort of group of challengers that she has had available to her, the people they have put her with, it's been a limited number of people, so it hasn't been a very eventful reign. Really, if you think about it, she spent pretty much the whole thing feuding with Bayley, and then they couldn't even pay it off with the final match because Bayley got hurt. So they couldn't even finish that feud. So I don't blame Bianca for that. Sasha Banks she's a superstar. She's a superstar in this company. Sasha Banks is the biggest female star that this company has. So when Ronda Rousey was around, you would say it's Ronda Rousey because Ronda Rousey was a mainstream athlete. Ronda Rousey isn't around anymore. And I know they push Charlotte Flair as the queen and she's, you know, got 13 or 12 or however many titles that she's up to at this point. After this weekend, it'll probably be 12. But to me, even though they don't write it that way on TV, again, you would think it would be Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks is the biggest female star in this company, at least until Becky Lynch comes back. And I think that it would be better to put the belt on her than it would be to keep the championship beyond SummerSlam on Bianca Belair. I would do the title change. I believe there is going to be a title change. I believe Sasha Banks is going to be the new SmackDown Women's Champion once again. She is my pick to win this match. I want to see Sasha get in there with some other faces. I want to see Sasha Banks getting in there and mixing it up with Toni Storm at some point. If they ever let her out of the fucking broom closet where she's been locked for the last 3 weeks, I'd like to see Sasha Banks mixing it up with Toni Storm. I'd like to see Sasha Banks in there with Tegan Nox. I'd like to see Sasha Banks and her blue hair go one-on-one with Shotzi Blackheart and her green hair. I think all of those feuds, all of those matches could be fun to follow. Those are matches that we haven't seen before. I've not seen Sasha Banks in the ring one-on-one with any of those women. Fresh faces up from NXT, and you could call up even more. The Raw division on the women's side could use some new faces as well. They've got Rhea, who's been there now for several months. They could use a few more. Asuka, I guess she's away on vacation, getting a well-deserved vacation after carrying that fucking division on her back for a good chunk of last year. I don't mind that Asuka is not on the show. Asuka deserves some time off. Where would they have been in that Raw women's division without Asuka last year? Ask yourself that question. So I'm okay with her not being on the show. You give her a little bit of a break. But on the SmackDown side, Sasha, you put the belt back on her. And once the feud plays out with Bianca, because they can end up having another match after this, but you move on and you have her start defending the championship against some of the newer faces. And Bianca Belair can have to work her way back up from underneath. She's got to climb that mountain and get back to the top. It's a story and a tale that has been told time and time again in pro wrestling. It is pro wrestling 101. Even if you think back to some of the biggest names in wrestling, Stone Cold Steve Austin never had that long of a run as the champion. He would win the title, and within a couple of months or a few months, he would lose it. He would get screwed out of it, and he would have to struggle and fight and claw and scratch his way back, because that's the story you tell. And that's fine. You could tell that same story with Bianca Belair. But I think you do the title change here. You flip the title back onto Sasha Banks. But I am looking forward to this match more than almost any other on this show. I thought their match of WrestleMania was excellent. I thought it was probably the match of WrestleMania outside of the main event on night two. The two main events were the two best matches on WrestleMania this year. So I have high hopes for this match as well. I think in a big stage, big stadium like that, these two women are going to go out there and they're going to deliver. And finally, we have the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, who was mouthing off about CM Punk earlier today. He is about to hit one full year, if he retains, he is about to hit one full year as the Universal Champion, defending against the 16-time world champion, John Cena. He finally got John Cena back. This is what they have promoted as the Summer of Cena. It is the Summer of Cena because there will be no fall. So they are trying to milk this for all it's worth while they have him available. Outside of a Roman Reigns match with The Rock, which I'm sure they are desperately hoping to put together for WrestleMania next year. I mean, there's rumors they're trying to get Rock on the Survivor Series show for at least an appearance at the Barclays Center in November. Now, why would that be? To set up a match with him and Roman Reigns for WrestleMania in Dallas next year so they could try to put 100,000 people back in that building again. So that is really the biggest match they could probably do in this company. The next biggest match they can do is right here. You've got the biggest WWE name of the last 15, 20 years, against the number one guy at this moment in this company. Raw or SmackDown, the number one guy in this company is Roman Reigns. So it's a big match. No matter what your thoughts are on either man, this is a big attraction for them to promote business-wise, ticket-wise, overall interest-wise. It is the biggest match that they could do. This will also be John Cena's first televised match, not counting the Firefly Funhouse or WrestleMania last year, which wasn't a real match. It was a gimmick. I don't count that. This will be his first in-ring match on TV since a Fatal 4-Way match on Raw that he was part of in January of 2019. 2.5 years. This will be John Cena's first real televised match in 2.5 years. Mr. Missionary was never known as the work rate king, but he has had a lot of classic matches in his day. I have stuck up for John Cena, even the people that used to knock him all the time and they wouldn't give him any credit at all. You know, and there was a lot about his shtick that I would criticize as well. One of the things that always irked me about John Cena was when he would lose the championship, he'd be right on TV the next night with a smile on his face. Like, oh, well, you know, no big deal. I'll just win it back next time. Used to drive me nuts. There were a lot of things to hate and despise about that John Cena character. But one thing I always gave him credit for was he would go out there, and maybe he wasn't the most technically gifted, but he found a way with whoever he was working with to go out there and have a great match whenever he was in a big main event. Whether it was Shawn Michaels, whether it was Daniel Bryan, whether it was CM Punk, or it was Umaga, or it was any number of people that he has stepped in the ring with, even the U.S. Open Challenge and the matches he was having on TV with Cesaro and other matches he's had, even some of the matches with Randy Orton. I didn't like all of them, but some of them were really good. John Cena still, to this day, does not get enough credit for the matches that he was able to have. Look at the trilogy with AJ Styles. And I don't want to hear, oh, it's AJ. Of course, AJ Styles, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. You know, one of the best wrestlers over the last 20 years. Okay. Well, AJ Styles is in there working with John Cena. So you can't give credit to AJ and give no credit to John Cena. He made those matches work every bit as much as AJ did. So I want to give him that credit. I want to give him his just due because I still feel like people don't look at him as a kind of a top performer in big time matches. His resume speaks for itself. So we know the point of all this is that we know he could go out there and have a great match under normal circumstances when he's around and he is wrestling full time. That is not the case. You know, that is a very different situation than coming back for the first time in 2.5 years and having a big match in a pay-per-view main event. The last match that he had with Roman Reigns came in No Mercy in 2017. And I didn't think that match was very good. I didn't think that match lived up to the billing. It did not feel nearly as special as they built it up as, and frankly, as it should have been. But that was also during a period where Roman Reigns was still very miscast. He was miscast as a babyface, and the fans were rebelling against him the way they had rebelled for years against John Cena. So that didn't help. But the match itself, it was good at best. There was nothing really overly special about it when they had that last match. This match here already feels like a much bigger deal than the match they had 4 years ago. Roman Reigns is a bigger star now than he was back then. I mean, it is like night and day in terms of babyface Roman Reigns and heel tribal chief Roman Reigns. In the ring, on promos, just his overall presence when he's on the show. He feels comfortable now. He feels like he is exactly where he should be. He is in the role that he should be in. Unlike 4 years ago. That is the big difference between now and then. So they're going to be in front of 40,000 people. This match is going to have a big fight feel going for it. Reigns, I think, again, is doing the best work right now of his career. But with John Cena, we don't know what to expect in the ring when he's been gone for so long. He's older now. He's been out of the ring pretty much for 2.5 years. We don't know exactly what we're going to get from him. I know he's been doing these quick six-man tag dark matches. After, you know, SmackDown and after Raw, that's not the same thing as going in the ring and having a long singles match on pay-per-view. So that's kind of the wild card here. I don't know what John Cena we're going to get in this match. I am happy they finally acknowledged the story of John Cena, though, chasing after title number 17. I was a little worried they were going to dismiss it and not really focus on it. That should be a big deal. And I think it will play nicely into the drama of some of the near falls in this match. You know, to me, it's why they absolutely ruined John Cena and The Undertaker all those years ago. That was a match I was hoping they would do, you know, WrestleMania 30, like somewhere in that time frame. They could have had a big-time WrestleMania match with John Cena against The Undertaker. And the minute they ended the streak at WrestleMania 30 with him and Brock, they took the drama right out of it. Right out of any potential match those two ever would have had at WrestleMania, it was sucked right out. As soon as Undertaker's streak was broken, it was over. So when the two of them finally met at WrestleMania 34, you know, they had a 3-minute squash. And what did it mean? What did it mean? He squashed Cena in 3 minutes and that was it. That was the big Undertaker-John Cena match at WrestleMania. But imagine if The Undertaker still had his undefeated streak, and this is back during when people were like, oh, Super Cena, he wins all of his matches, which he really doesn't, but okay, we'll go with that narrative. Well, imagine those people having to watch John Cena hitting the attitude adjustment and locking Undertaker in that horrible-looking STF, actually believing that this son of a bitch might break the streak because the company, believing in their minds that Vince McMahon and maybe even The Undertaker himself would love to do the honors and put John Cena over and have him be the one to break the streak. People would have been losing their minds, but they took the drama out of it. Here, it's not, maybe, I don't know if it's on the same level as the streak ending, but there is drama, I think, and people, you know, either wanting him to win the title for a 17th time and break Ric Flair's, you know, phony record, or not wanting him to break Ric Flair's record. And, you know, hoping that he does not, you know, get the pinfall and Roman Reigns kicks out with every near fall. So I like that. I like that they're finally focusing on number 17. John Cena is much more well-liked now than he would have been had they done this a few years ago, because absence makes the heart grow fonder. When you disappear for a certain amount of time, you give people a chance to actually miss seeing you. So when John Cena comes out now, we don't really have Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks anymore. I don't know if the crowd in Vegas is going to chant that or not, but it's more of a babyface reaction. You wouldn't have gotten that 3 or 4 years ago. I think people miss the guy. I miss seeing him on TV. If he was on TV every week, I'd be sick of him probably within 3 months. But he hasn't been around. He comes back, and all of a sudden, it's like what's old is new again. It actually feels somewhat fresh. I have been asked by a few people, and I want to bat this down right now because this is just completely ridiculous that people would even be giving this any serious consideration. I've had a couple of people ask me, they go, well, don't you think the WWE would consider having John Cena beat Roman Reigns and win title number 17 to spite Ric Flair for leaving the company? Do I think that they would put the title on Cena as a way to just spite the 72-year-old man who no longer works for this company? No, I don't. I absolutely believe this company are filled with petty people, including a petty owner. There's plenty of examples of that over the years, of them being petty and spiteful. That I believe. But no, they're not going to put the championship on John Cena if they do, just despite Ric Flair. That is ridiculous. So I don't know where that started. I don't know why you would even buy into that. The answer is no. Now, we know Cena is leaving again soon. He is not sticking around beyond that, I think, that one Madison Square Garden show that they're doing next month. Having Cena win, you know, let's say Cena wins. If John Cena wins only to then have Big E, let's say I'm wrong about the Money in the Bank cash-in with Lashley, okay? I could very well be wrong. I'm throwing ideas out there that I think could happen and that I think are more interesting than just the standard, you know, heel goes over and that's it. Let's say I'm wrong and Big E doesn't cash in on Bobby Lashley. Let's say John Cena beats Roman Reigns. He wins title number 17, but we know he's not sticking around. Out comes Big E, and he comes out to cash in his Money in the Bank to win the Universal title, and then Roman Reigns wins it back from him the next month. Okay, let's say they were going to do that. That doesn't serve any purpose other than to show people John Cena is better than Roman Reigns. And oh, by the way, John Cena is leaving and going back to Hollywood. And here's Roman the loser, who has clearly been established as the number two guy in this company. That would be insanely stupid. You wouldn't do that. Cena's not sticking around. There's no reason to put the championship on him. None. I think that would be a dumb idea. And I think it would be a big mistake if they really think they have a shot. And I'm not convinced they're going to be able to get The Rock. How many fucking times have we heard over the last several years, oh, they want The Rock. They want The Rock. Oh, I want The Rock too. Shit, I want the Rock to be right behind me here. I'll pull a chair up. The Rock can do a podcast with me here on YouTube. I want The Rock. How come I can't get The Rock? Of course WWE wants The Rock. Everybody wants The Rock. You can't have The Rock. The Rock is a busy man. Multiple times they've wanted The Rock, and then they end up not getting him. They wanted him at WrestleMania the last time they were in Dallas, and they couldn't get him because he was busy. So I know they want The Rock. Doesn't mean they're going to get him, but let's say they do. if you're going to do Roman Reigns and The Rock, you shouldn't beat Roman Reigns. You shouldn't be losing the championship or being beaten months before you get to a Roman Reigns-Rock match. And maybe he doesn't have the title by the time he gets to The Rock. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe they start a program and The Rock actually does something that leads to Roman losing the title because, I don't know, do you want to do Roman and Rock for the championship? Does that even have to be for the title? I'm not sure it has to be. And I certainly wouldn't put the belt back on The Rock either. But Roman does have to lose to someone at some point. Just don't know yet who that would be. I just think there's no good reason to put the title on John Cena. Doesn't make sense. Roman Reigns should retain here. I'm picking him to win. And then coming out of SummerSlam, they program Finn Balor with Roman Reigns as the next challenger for the Universal title. That was the match that they had teased on television they were going to give us until Baron Corbin basically ruined it for him. And then John Cena snuck in, the heel that he is, and he stole the contract. Finn Balor ought to go kick John Cena's ass. If anybody should cost John Cena the title here, it should be Finn Balor. But that would turn him heel. We don't want to do that. I think the program coming out of SummerSlam is Reigns and Balor. Laundry Sucks says, what is the appeal of Reigns against The Rock? It's the whole bloodline thing. That's all it is. It's the whole Samoan bloodline, Samoan dynasty storyline they have going on. I'm the head of the table. I'm the tribal chief. Rock's got the same tattoo. He's part of the same tribe. He's the biggest, you know, one of the biggest names in the history of this company. If they could get The Rock in to do something with him and Roman, I could totally see why they would want that. If I could get The Rock in my company to come in and do a storyline like that, I'd be insane to say no. I think The Rock could still be big business for them if he were to have one more match. I don't even remember the last match he had. Was it the Eric Rowan match? Because The Rock, his career should not end with a 6-second match at WrestleMania against Eric Rowan. There's got to be a better ending, I think, to The Rock's career. So that's why they want to do it. It's the whole bloodline thing. And I think it would do big business. Look, you know, there were people who really weren't even into the whole Rock-John Cena thing back in Miami in 2012. And that match still has the record for the biggest buy rate in company history on pay-per-view. It's a company that is built on, you know, trying to put together these big WrestleMania-type attractions. If they could get The Rock committed to doing the show and there's no insurance issues and there's no scheduling conflicts, then I would do the match. I just hope that Rock can do it without falling apart, because The Rock, the last couple of times in big matches against John Cena, has been seriously injured. I mean, it's like he tears like every muscle in his body. And that was Rock 7 or 8 years ago. That was 7 years ago, the last match they had. Actually, I'm sorry, eight. That was 8 years ago, WrestleMania 29. So if there's a safe way to get him back in the ring, then you do the match. But, you know, what kind of Rock are you going to get at that point? I don't know. Rock is, how old is Rock? Is he 50? If he's not 50, he's almost 50. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of match you're going to get out of him, but in any event, that to answer your question, that's why they want to do that. So as far as SummerSlam is concerned, you guys know where to come to on Saturday night once my little animated super chat pops off the screen. There we go. YouTube live schedule. We are already 2 days deep. As Sergio Cornejo just subscribed to the channel, Dancing Nakamura, dancing all over my little calendar here. Thank you, Sergio, for joining the channel. If you have not done so, hit that subscribe button. Just like Vontel, he just subscribed. Look at this. Back-to-back subs. Thank you, Vontel. Welcome to the family. We are 2 days deep into this schedule. I'm going to be on YouTube Live tomorrow night, immediately after AEW Rampage. Going to be talking about what I'm sure is going to be the AEW debut on Rampage at the United Center in Chicago tomorrow night. The debut of Braun Strowman This is going to be the big debut tomorrow night. Tony Khan is going to swerve us all. And the monster among men is going to show up at the United Center tomorrow night. Now, whoever it is, I think we know who. It's that guy that you see on your screen right there. Join me live. That's going to be a fun stream tomorrow night. I am very much looking forward to this stream tomorrow night. So is Mario Medina, who just subscribed. And then Saturday, as soon as SummerSlam goes off the air, whatever time that might be, I want you to come on back here and join me for the live recap, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then on Sunday, episode 718 of the podcast drops on all the usual audio platforms. And yes, to answer in the chat, I am going to be covering NXT TakeOver 36. Volta, one-on-one with Ilya Dragunov for the United Kingdom Championship, and the return of Samoa Joe against Karrion Kross. Samoa Joe wrestling his first match since February of 2020. Back in the ring, challenging for the championship. Five straight days of streaming. You guys make it all worthwhile, because at least I know I'm not alone here. At least I know I've got a crowd joining me. We're having fun, right? We're talking wrestling. What's not to like? I see Luis is joining us. Luis Belmont Show. What's going on, Luis? I hope you're having a good night. Mr. Wilson in the chat says, I will cry laughing if Punk is not there. Boy, first of all, he'll be there. But let's say Punk is stuck in traffic and he's really not there. I don't know how bad the traffic in Chicago is. I guess he's already in Chicago. Can you imagine if he doesn't show up, but it's like a traffic issue or something? Yeah, people are not going to be very happy. There's a reason they have 14,000 people in that building tomorrow night, their biggest crowd ever, and it's not because of Braun Strowman. It's not because of Daniel Garcia in the main event against Jon Moxley. But it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night. So let us switch over, because we're just getting started here. I told you, I wanted to hear your predictions for SummerSlam. And any other questions you might have, whether it's CM Punk or something else, you could drop a super chat. Let us switch over to your super chats. Find out what you guys have to say about this SummerSlam card. Am I alone in this lack of excitement about the show on Saturday night? I get the sense that I'm not the only one who feels that way. Yeah, King Bling in the chat says that AEW in the United Center just released 300 new seats for the Rampage show tomorrow night at the United Center. So I don't know if they are going to fill all 300, but obviously they are selling enough tickets where they are releasing additional seats, which I think they may continue to do into tomorrow. And I think there is a mask mandate that is in effect at the United Center. So if you are going to be attending the show, just be aware of that. You'll have to wear a mask. At least to get in, you'll have to wear a mask. A lot of buildings are starting to do that. A lot more. Madison Square Garden is doing that. Arthur Ashe Stadium might. I think it depends, because that's open air. But if they had to close the roof, if it was going to rain, let's say, I think the mask mandate in New York would apply. So, you know, Every city, every building is going to be different going forward. Groovy Goose, do you think Nick Khan has overtaken Triple H's spot as successor to Vince McMahon? Especially considering NXT lost out to Dynamite. Thanks for the great content. No, I don't, because Nick Khan is in a totally different position. Nick Khan is not the COO. He is not the, he doesn't run any kind of creative end of the company or anything like that. He's strictly on the business end. And I don't get the sense that's really Triple H's wheelhouse. Could Triple H one day be answering to Nick Khan? Yes, I believe he could be. But overtaking him as far as his responsibilities and his roles, I think they represent two totally different positions in the company. Alberto Ortiz, big fan of your stuff, Solomonster. Can I get a birthday shout out? No. I'm just kidding. Happy birthday, Alberto! Not Alberto Del Dipshit. We're not talking about that guy. We're talking about Alberto Ortiz, who is celebrating a birthday. You didn't tell me how old you're going to be. See, I would have sang the song. You know, how old are you now? Tibbs 316 with the $20 super chat drop. Hope all is well. Solomonster. Tibbs, good to hear from you. Ojali Burgos with the 10. I may be alone on this, but I'm actually excited for Alexa and Eva. I don't think Eva's actually wrestling. I think this is a surprise debut. Okay, so that was the super chat I was referencing before. I don't know. You could be right. Anything to get her out of the ring, I guess, but I think she'll be in the match. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99, my friend. See, look at this. Everybody in the chat wishing happy birthday to Alberto. That's very nice. I like seeing that. Skull Dipper, best thing to listen to when welding is the Solomonster. You got one of those helmets on? Remember when Kane was wearing the welder's helmet for a while on TV when he came back, one of his many returns? I picture Skull Dipper with that gun is that they use. Sparks flying everywhere, the welder's helmet on. What are you welding is what I want to know. Are you welding furniture? Are you welding something else? Nick Grosso with the $10. Do you think Vince will give Cena number 17 just to stick it to Flair? No, again, I just addressed this. Also, do you think Becky will show up after one of the women's title matches? I think we see Becky on Raw Monday night. I don't think we see her necessarily at the stadium. I think, if anything, we might see her on TV the next night. Michael Cuomo, malicious intent. Michael Cuomo, part of our PayPal posse. I hope they do more pay-per-views on Saturday. I kind of hope they don't, selfishly, just because I do my show on Sunday. It's a pain in the ass for me. It's just, whatever. I mean, I like Saturday for pay-per-views. I could see why if you have work the next day on a Sunday, it's kind of annoying. Whereas on Saturday, you probably aren't working the next day. But it actually makes my job harder. Skull Dipper says, I'm welding stiffness for a structural component. Well, I'll pretend to know what that means, and I will say, good luck with that welding. King Bling, thoughts on wrestling events at the movie theaters? Do you think they belong in theaters? I'm going to one for SummerSlam. Ever see wrestling at the movies? I have not seen wrestling at the movies. I think it's cool. I don't have any issue with it. I don't know that I would ever do it, but that's not really a new concept. I know it's kind of new for WWE to be doing it, and they are doing it in some places for SummerSlam this weekend, but even, it's like closed circuit. That's basically what it is. It's like a modern version of closed circuit. The closed circuit goes back many, many years. First WrestleMania was on closed circuit. I think the first Starcade was, I believe, as well. Zach Reyna. I called doing a research paper on that topic of WWE making millions in spite of themselves. You're free to take the idea. I said, I'm shocked that we haven't had like a major business school undertake a case study or commission a case study on how this company, in spite of all of their dumb decisions, creatively and in other ways, how this company is still able to make all the money it makes. I mean, I guess the TV contracts is the main answer, but how they make all of this money in spite of the stupid shit they do. Someone ought to start that case study. I would love to see the results. Jamie Dorsch, Goldberg over Lashley, just so I get to hear Solomonster go on an epic rant on the post show. Vincent Millage, I completely forgot that SummerSlam was this weekend. At least for me, all the AEW news has buried the show. Also, the biggest surprise for the weekend will be if Peacock works correctly this time. I'm actually going to give Peacock some props on the podcast on Sunday. I don't know how the live stream is going to go. It went pretty horribly for me last month with Money in the Bank, at least for part of the show. But they had made a... Internally, supposedly, the goal was to get all of the old WWE Network content up on Peacock in time for SummerSlam. And it looks like they are going to meet that goal. I didn't think they would do it, but it looks like if they haven't already in the next few days, they are going to actually meet that goal, which is impressive. Now the question is, how proactive are they going to be getting up additional classic content? Is that really going to be a priority for them going forward, or are they going to be satisfied just sort of dropping things a little bit here and there? That's what I'm worried about. There's indications already that we're not going to get too much more classic content at the same rate that the network was uploading it. Anderson Blitz. If CM Punk doesn't appear tomorrow, the arena will burn. Well, there's a reason that Punk used to come out to This Fire Burns, or whatever the name of that song was. Elias. Hello, my name is Elias Rodriguez with the $2 super chat. Tamina really is the absolute worst. I love how random that was. Kevin Miller. First time watching you live from Blackpool, UK. Isn't that William Regal's home? Was he from Blackpool, England? Cheers to all the folks in Blackpool. I wonder how many Blackpool people are watching right now. We do have a lot of UK listeners and viewers. Dry chicken without flavor. I really love your shirt tonight, Solomon. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Brianna with the $5. I do hope that the Usos move on after this feud with the Mysterios. Things are dragging at this point. Well, welcome to WWE. Rematch City on every show. I'm not even tired of that feud. We haven't yet reached the Rollins-Mysterio levels yet. I'll happily take the Usos and the Mysterios over the constant rematches we see on Raw every Monday night. Clag Daddy, thank you for the $7 and for becoming a channel member. DeMonte24 will be at the Allegiant Stadium on Saturday. The top three SmackDown matches are carrying this card along with RK-Bro. Can't wait to be an all-out C-Nation member on Saturday. And cheers to Thomas. Is it Thomas or Tomas? In the chat, let me know. I always feel like I'm saying his name wrong. Cameron Spencer, would you rather have Rikishi stink face you or have Walter chop you in the Adam's apple? Thanks for answering my Adam's apple question. Didn't I answer this question already? I don't know. I'd rather have Rikishi stink face Walter and leave me the fuck alone. Dry chicken without flavor. Karrion Kross. Walter White to Scarlett Skyler before facing Samoa Joe. I am not in danger, Scarlett. I am the danger. I am the one who knocks. So Dry Chicken coming in with the Breaking Bad reference. Samoan Fan 101. Goldberg beats Lashley for the title and then steals the Money in the Bank briefcase and cashes in on Roman and beats Reigns to win the Universal title. I put a curse on you for even floating that idea. Samoan Fan. Why would you do that? You never know who's watching these streams. Do not give them any ideas, please. EJ Slemp, I'm going to Rampage tomorrow night. The United Center is my favorite Chicago arena, and I thought I would never see a wrestling show there. Well, have fun. And when the show is over, drop a message and let me know how the live experience was. I think it's going to be a lot of fun being in that building. I'm actually jealous of S.E. Scoops is going to be going to the United Center. He's going to be en route to Chicago early tomorrow. He's headed to the show. I'm jealous. Lakers Pats, are you going to pull a flare on the New York City trains? How do you know I haven't? Flamethrower Fly. I'm not pulling anything on the New York City train. I haven't ridden a New York City train in 18 months, and if I never ride one again, it would be a day too soon. If it were up to me, I would never ride the fucking train again. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Probably my second favorite Super Chat name behind Bret Hart. I don't know if Bret Hart is joining us tonight. Sasha and Bianca were not feeling like themselves. They each ate a Snickers, and they are fine now. Well, there you go. There's the update. Flamethrower coming in with the news. EJ, if WWE does not want to run cold weather cities with roofs like Vancouver, Indy, and Minneapolis for WrestleMania, will they consider them for SummerSlam? I think they would consider almost any large venue. I don't know that there's really any venue for them that's off limits. For WrestleMania, it's more about bidding. If the city bids on the show and gives them certain perks. But for SummerSlam, I don't believe there's a bidding process. Joseph Brooks, if Brock Lesnar had the best rookie year in WWE history, which wrestler had the best final year in WWE history? Oh, I have no idea. You'd have to give me time to think about that final year. I don't even know. You stumped me. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. Jermaine Presley, I could see John Cena winning the title from Roman at SummerSlam due to outside interference and then have Cena drop the belt in a fatal four-way at Madison Square Garden. You could. I don't think you have to, though. Luis, with the $10 super chat, I can see Ric Flair wrestling matches for championship wrestling from Hollywood. Boy, you are the biggest championship wrestling from Hollywood. They should make you the general manager, you know that? He is a loyal, dedicated fan. Every super chat I think he has ever sent, and even when he would call in, he always is sure to mention championship wrestling from Hollywood, which I am willing to bet that 99% of the people who are in this chat right now, how many people we have in the chat right now? I am willing to bet that the majority of the, what is it, 800 or 900 we have right now, have probably never even seen an episode of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. They have no idea what you're talking about, Luis. He says, just pay attention to those Car Shield commercials. No coincidence that David Marquez is in those commercials as well. Well, so is Eli Drake. LA Knight. I don't know exactly what point you're trying to make, but Luis, I love you. Thank you for the super chat. Jermaine again, I think Roman and The Rock will turn into Roman and Jay against Rock and Jimmy at WrestleMania to protect Rock from injury. Well, if that's the case, then you got to come up with a different main event, because that ain't no WrestleMania main event. I'm sorry. That's not a WrestleMania main event. The WrestleMania main event, you'd have to come up with a damn good tag match to convince me that a tag team match should headline WrestleMania. I believe that it always, maybe not. There might be certain situations I would make an exception, but for me, it's one-on-one. You always want a good one-on-one singles match in the main event of WrestleMania. Rock and an Uso against Roman and an Uso is not a WrestleMania main event. JR the Hunter, in my opinion, they will send Becky to SmackDown to help turn Rollins babyface to soon feud him with Reigns. Imagine the heat Roman would get from disrespecting Becky. I don't think Seth and Becky want to work together again after that debacle last time and the way it was received. He was asked about that recently, and he sounded very cold to that idea. I'm all for a Rollins babyface turn at some point. I think that might be the only thing to really get me interested in him again. I don't think you need Becky to get there, though. Jose Leanos, pretty hammered right now, but dropping in to say thanks for all the hard work. Looks like you've had one too many Salamonster screwdrivers, like I was having last night. I might have to bust that out again tomorrow night for Rampage. Nick Grasso, do you think if the Seth Edge feud continues that Beth and Becky will join for a mixed tag? I don't know that Seth and Becky really want to work together on screen again. I think they have a sour taste in their mouth from last time. It's just the sense I get from, you know, listening to Rollins speak about it. They got a lot of shit for that. And it didn't do either of them any good. If anything, it made Seth less popular, frankly. It actually did the opposite for him. Didn't really hurt Becky, but it hurt him. Clag Daddy, Punk is cool and all, but when are we getting the real return everybody wants? The return of the Swiss Salamonster. Well, Unfortunately, Swiss Sala Monster, he is trapped overseas due to COVID. He cannot travel here. He is in a protective bubble right now. He is not available, but perhaps at some point we will try to get him back on the show. I think the last time he appeared on the podcast was episode 2-something, right? 256 or something like that. It's been a long time for my my Swiss cousin. MBD in the chat says, "Are you okay, bud? You look awfully thin." No, well, you know, you are the third person to make a comment like that. I am fine. Well, relatively. There might be a couple of screws loose up there. No, I've lost weight, so that's why I might look a little bit different than I did a few months ago. Lakers Pats. Ted Turner buys WWE long-term booking at its best. Jermaine Presley again dropping $5 here on the stream. Sasha needs to win the title from Bianca to open up the SmackDown women's division to all of the babyfaces and the lack of female heels on that brand. Cameron Spencer, have you ever considered taking time off to rest? No, I probably should. You know, I need a vacation is what I need, but I'm not going nowhere. I'm not flying anywhere anytime soon. So vacation will have to wait. I'm pretty bummed, too, because there were two cruises I was supposed to go on this year. One was the, the Jericho cruise. That was going to be kind of, you know, I used to go with a bunch of friends to WrestleMania every year. And WrestleMania just got to the point where it was like, this is just fucking ridiculous. I mean, these shows are so ridiculously long, I don't want to do it anymore. So we did that Jericho cruise last year, right when COVID was first hitting. And I saw so many people. I met some of you guys on the cruise. They had music and wrestling on the boat, and I had never been on one before. A cruise, not a boat. And it was a lot of fun, and I thought maybe we would make that our annual thing, and then this COVID shit hit. And so we were going to do it again this year. And then I had a family member was celebrating a 50th birthday, and they were going to do a cruise. I said, oh, great. Okay, two cruises in 1 year. I'm trying to figure out in my head, all right, how much is this going to be? But it would have been fun, and I ended up not doing either one of them. And as far as a vacation, who the hell knows? You know what part of the problem is? There's been so much news going on. There's just been so much going on that I can't imagine even taking a week off. Because you know what would happen. I would take a week off and then some big name would die or the company would be sold or there'd be, you know, some big surprise return or something would happen that would just kind of have me back the very next day and then, you know, so much for my time off. So maybe if things died down a little bit in the fall, but no, you guys got me every week. You guys can depend on me. You know that. I'm not going anywhere. Marcus the Entertainer. MJF really impressed me last night. Looked really polished and in good shape. Him against Punk or Bryan is something I would like to see. I don't think MJF gets enough credit for just his wrestling. Not saying he's the best wrestler in the company, but I think people look at him more as a character and a personality than they do as a wrestler. So when you see him in a match, he's actually very good. He's very capable in the ring. He can work. He can go. That's why I think he has all the tools to be as big as he wants to be in this business, whether it's in AEW or maybe one day in WWE. I just, the thought of a watered-down WWE version of MJF doesn't appeal to me. I feel like a watered-down WWE version of MJF, they already have that. It's called The Miz. So I think in AEW, that's exactly where he needs to be. Javo10 with the $5 super chat. If Disney bought WWE, would Vince book Roman Reigns against Mickey Mouse in the main event of WrestleMania? Say perhaps at WrestleMania 42. I don't know that Disney would necessarily want to associate itself with or would associate Mickey Mouse with WWE. and sully the good name of Mickey Mouse. Paul Heyman. If Moose went to WWE, could you see Vince McMahon taking one look at Moose and having to excuse himself to the little boys' room to calm down that boner? You know, after I saw Ric Flair's name trending on Twitter yesterday, I thought that would be the worst thing to happen all week. And then Paul Heyman has to go drop a super chat with Vince McMahon and Boner in the same super chat. Thank you, Paul Heyman. Jake Rann, Ahmed Johnson in the Hall of Fame. Do you think it happens? No. EJ Slemp, I have a New York City food question. Have you ever been to Katz's Deli? Is it worth visiting or is it an overpriced tourist trap? Both. I think it's worth visiting and it is an overpriced tourist trap. But the couple of times I've been there, it's been a few years. The food is good. Junior's as well. Junior's cheesecake, which it's not just cheesecake. I mean, it's a whole... It's like a giant deli, basically. It's in the theater district. I've been there a bunch of times. I love Junior's. They have good food. They have good chicken soup there. It's on... it's in Midtown somewhere. I forgot. 46th, maybe? 44th? You can look them up. Junior's in New York. Fred the Shed with the $13 Super Chat. Hey, Solomonster, recently started listening to the podcast again after taking a break. From wrestling during the empty arena shows, hearing your voice again has been good. Hope you are doing well. Well, thank you, Fred. Hope you're doing well as well. I'm going to be talking about Uncle Fred on This Week in History. Do you know what happened this week in history? Oh, boy. We're going to talk about one of the great segments in wrestling history this weekend. It's great. We only have a couple of weeks left of This Week in History. I was so happy that I'm going to have a chance to cover this. Dry chicken without flavor, buy or sell, Vanguard 1 or Lily the Doll? Vanguard 1. Which Vanguard 1 was armed with a laser beam so he can blow Lily to smithereens? Birdman Iceberg, who just became a channel member. I didn't miss Cena at all. Awesome shirt, by the way. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there are people who missed him, and then there are people who are just still so sick of seeing him and the jorts and everything that they will just... There will never be a time where they are excited to see John Cena. Clag Daddy, episode 254 was his glorious debut of Swiss Solomon. I was only off by two episodes, and that was off the top of my head. That's not bad. Can you at least... What do you say? Can you at least confirm if he managed to get the Eve Torres topless pics that he wanted? I don't believe he did. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's been a very long time since we did that bit on the show. Luis, again, not wrestling related, but do you see a fourth stimulus check coming our way? Maybe coming your way. It's not coming my way. Coggies with a $20 super chat. Hello, the members only Q&A was great this week. One of the many great perks for joining the YouTube family. Also a reminder to the chat to hit that like button. Looking forward to this week in history. I love Coggies. He's always looking out. He's always looking out for the channel. He's helping out here on the streams. And Marcus the Entertainer, the Eliminators and Raven are underrated acts of ECW. Raven, I would call Raven underrated. I think anybody who followed Raven in ECW, I feel like they know how good he is. Certainly when he came to, you know, WWE, you know, they didn't know what the fuck to do with him. They could have done a lot more with Raven in WWE than they did. But, you know, then again, you could say that about a lot of guys. You could say that about a lot of the ECW guys they brought in. You could say that about Taz. You know, that's hardly something that's contained only to Raven. But Raven, I don't know. I would call him underrated. I think he gets a lot of credit for being, you know, really good during that ECW period. Quizzical One. One of our mods in the chat says he just joined during this stream. Sorry it took as long as it did. That's okay. As long as we got you aboard now, man. We got you as part of our big family. I said this on the stream last night. It is one of the perks of channel membership. I finally opened a Sound of Discord a few months ago, so it's still pretty quiet in there. It's limited only to the YouTube channel members right now. You are going to need a link, though. So if you are a channel member, drop me a message and just let me know what name you're a member under, and I will get you a link so we can get you into the exclusive Discord. And I'm always thinking of other new things to add for you guys. We'll do more Q&As. There's more retro audio going up. Got a lot of fun stuff. So I can't thank you enough, all the guys who and girls who have joined this week. We've had a crush of new members. I had a goal that I wanted to meet by the end of this weekend, and we've already met it, and we're not even at the weekend yet, so that put a smile on my face. EJ Slemp. Oh, wait, we missed Matthew Rice with the $10 Super Chat drop. Good evening, Solomonster. Hope all is well. Quick question for you. Do you think that John Cena's return has been lackluster? If so, what would you have done differently with his return? You know, I don't know that there was really much more they could have done. They didn't want him in the ring until SummerSlam. So if he's not going to wrestle, all you really can do with him is put him on TV and have him cutting promos, which he's very good at when he wants to be. Yeah, sometimes he'll just pander to the crowd, or you know, he'll do this, like he'll put his narrator voice on, which I think is really grating on the nerves. But, you know, John Cena is a great promo when he wants to be, especially when somebody comes at him. If they do like a work shoot, if someone is supposedly shooting on him, you could usually tell there's a change in his demeanor, and then he'll, you know, he'll come back and give it right back to him. I just think if he's only back for a limited period of time, and if he's not going to be able to get physical as much because of his movie commitments, you just take him and you do whatever you can do with him. I think WWE is limited in what they can do with him. I don't even know that I could put all that on them. But the match to do is the match that they're doing. It's John Cena against Roman Reigns. Now, if John Cena was going to stick around longer, there's other people on the roster I'd like to see him in the ring. I'd love to see him and AJ back in the ring one more time. I think him in the ring against Samoa Joe, unfortunately, is a match we never got to see, which I think is a fucking disgrace. And now Joe is in NXT, so I'm sure it's probably never going to happen. But that was still a match I was kind of holding out hope for. You know, it's not going to be the same. I mean, Joe is really beat up. Cena's older. It's not the kind of match they could have had, you know, even 5 years ago. But they're limited in what they can do with him. You grab him, you do what you can, you make your money, and then he goes back to Hollywood. That's kind of how it works. EJ, was the last time you missed a show during your trip to Colombia? I'm planning on going there and some other South American countries in 2023. Yeah, probably. I'm trying to think when that last time would have been that I missed a show. I don't even know that I missed a show then. I thought I did a show a few days earlier before I left. Then I got hurt. Yeah, that's when I hurt my leg, and I was all laid up here at home, but I don't think I missed a show after that. That was 2018. I think I missed a show a few months before that. I think I missed a show after my mom passed away, but then I was right back at it the following week. Before that, I think it was a few years since I had missed a show. It might have been like 8 years or something like that. I don't miss shows. If I were a wrestler, the promoters would love me because I don't miss my shots. If I have a shot to make, I'm going to make that shot. I would be the reliable, dependable one that probably would be safe from the cut list because at least they can rely on me and they can trust me. That would be me. I'd be like a good utility player off the bench. I'd keep my mouth shut. I would make them just forget that I'm even employed so that way I can stay, you know, collect the paycheck, have the catering, like so many other guys have done in that company. And it's like, oh, we forgot that you were still working for us. You're fired. Says Nick Khan as he walks off. Paul Heyman. I heard the reason WWE doesn't want to show the clip of Rollins almost killing Edge in 2014 is because of the two AEW guys involved in that segment. You know what? I've heard that, and it does make sense. There are, I think, multiple AEW people who were, well, let's see, Big Show. Who would be the other one? Two AEW guys involved in that segment? Because that was the Authority, right? So we had Kane, Seth Rollins, maybe Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury, Edge, Christian. I don't believe Christian was in that segment. So who was the other AEW guy? I don't know. I thought there was only one. Was it Christian? It was Christian. Okay. I don't recall Christian being in. You know what? I think you're right. Christian was in the ring. You're right. I'm wrong. Well, you know what? That would make sense. I don't think that was in the video package, was it? That they aired on television last week? Yeah, you're right. Christian was in the ring. Marek. Marek. Jesus. Marek 13. WWE's counter to CM will be title number 17 for John Cena. I don't buy that. I know they can be a petty bunch, but I don't think. You know, we'll see when the ratings come in for Rampage, how big of an impression Punk made on them. I don't see them doing any kind of counter-programming to Punk this weekend to try to get people to talk about other stuff. I don't buy that. I think if they wanted, I said this last night, if they wanted CM Punk, they could have had him. I think that they could have gone on bended knee to CM Punk a long time ago to make amends and say, look, we'd love to have you back. And they could have worked something out. If they thought that they could make money with Punk and they really wanted him and they wanted to, you know, bring him back into the family, they would have done it. Obviously, they didn't want to work with him. He didn't want to work with them. And he hasn't even debuted yet for AEW. I don't see them doing any kind of counter-programming just yet. I think people are getting ahead of themselves on that. Marcus the Entertainer, the Bayley-Eva Marie feud in NXT was actually good. You know what? I will agree with you on that. That was because Triple H knew what he was doing. And he booked the Eva Marie stuff at that point very smartly. Because he knew what he was doing when they were in front of that Full Sail crowd. And actually, I remember that Bayley-Eva Marie match. Not that Eva Marie was a great in-ring worker, but I remember that match actually being enjoyable because the fans truly believed that they were going to have her go over Bayley. And so they were hanging on to every near fall and every spot and every big move. So Triple H handled that in a very smart way. Roman Reigns sounds so jealous of CM Punk right now. Well, we'll talk about that on the podcast on Sunday. I got to save some stuff for the podcast on Sunday, right? I can't blow my load now. Like Ric Flair on that train. Or whoever that was. How many more This Week in Wrestling History segments are left? Well, let's see. This weekend is the 22nd. Including this weekend, there's three left. So you got three more. What were your thoughts on TNA messing up Monty Brown? I don't know if I blame them for that. If I remember, I thought Monty Brown was getting a big push and he left on his own because I think he had a sister who passed away and I think he had to take care of her kids, or it was some kind of family thing, and he basically just left the wrestling business. He could have been a lot bigger than he was, though. I don't know that I blame TNA for that, though. They seem to be pushing him pretty hard before he left. You can blame TNA for making a lot of dumb decisions. I don't know that I blame them for that, though. Oh, they turned him heel. Well, that does sound pretty dumb. But he could have survived it and come back and still been a big name. But I do believe that's why he left the wrestling business. Can we get another Solomonster bar story? None that I could really tell right now. Maybe next time. I'm sure people still want to see your scrawny frame. Look at all these insults. My God, I'm taking this personally. All these insults that are being hurled my way tonight. You may have already answered this, but what was in the Solomonster screwdriver last night? Stoli blueberry vodka that I forgot that I had. So I dug that out with some OJ. That's it. That's all it was. Hey, Michael Jensen just became a Sound Off superstar. Thanks for becoming a member, brother. Welcome to the party. Happy to have you. Stay for a while. What are those two belts on your wall, Solomonster? Well, the one on the far right that you see right there, that is the Big Eagle, the Attitude Era Big Eagle belt that Austin and Rock held during the Attitude Era. And this one right here, right next to it is the classic Winged Eagle, which is the best championship belt that WWE ever had. That's the one that I grew up on. That's the one that Hogan had, and Savage, and Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels. Austin had it for a day. That was a gift. This one right here. This on the far right I got. I mean, that goes back to when I was in college. When they first started making replica belts that looked like real replica belts, I jumped on it. So I got that probably 20 years ago. In fact, I think it was 20 years ago this year. I've had this belt for 20 years. I had it re-leathered many years ago, so it actually looks more genuine now. And I had the center plate in the middle curved, which is the way it should be. It should never be flat. This one is flat, unfortunately. I tried to have somebody curve it, and he kind of chickened out and said that he was afraid he might break it. So, but that is genuine leather. But that one on the left was a gift from a listener. Shout out to Matt. He's watching this, or if he listens on the download, I love Matt. One of the best gifts I've ever been given. Always said one day when I could afford it, I would have the Winged Eagle, and then I ended up getting it as a gift. It's a hell of a gift to get. Of course, I also have the Solomonster Championship, which is not on display just because I don't have room over there for it, but it's not too far away from me. That was also a very nice gift to get. Is it made of metal or plastic? This is metal. I mean, this is the real deal right here. The plates aren't quite as thick as the TV belts. I think those are 4 millimeters thick. These are 2. But otherwise, it's the closest thing to the real deal that you can. I mean, these things are heavy. Even the Solomonster belt that I got, it's about 9.5 pounds. These are heavy. These are heavy belts. Swake Mason just dropped $5. No message. Just wanted to show some support for the channel. What are those pictures on the wall? Those are awesome. Those stick to the wall. They adhere to the wall, and you can pull them off, and they don't rip the paint off the wall. You can mix them. You can put them somewhere else if you want. They're called mixed tiles. It's not a website, it's an app. I love it. One of them is the Sound Off logo. You can probably see that. It's the Sound Off regular logo, the Sound Off Mets style logo on the bottom. The other photos above it are all photos from Sound Off meetups that we've done over the years. So some of you guys may be in those photos on my wall right there. You can't see them from here, but I always make sure we have a group photo taken at these different meetups that we've done over the years. And those are some of the group shots from some of those events. No, you know, I didn't hear about the Tony Atlas Boston. I don't know the details about the drama between Tony Atlas and Boston Wrestling. If somebody can kind of clue me in, maybe email me. Because I've seen Tony Atlas, you know, those videos have popped up on my YouTube recommendeds over the years. I know he's done a lot of shoot interviews with Boston Wrestling. I thought everything was cool with them, but apparently not. So if somebody can fill me in on that, I'd love to know. Yeah, the poster is Cloverfield. That is the poster from the first Cloverfield movie. Luis, let's keep Solo Monster on for a while longer. Thank you for the $2, Luis. Do I think Adam Cole will show up on Raw or Dynamite next week, or maybe take some time off? Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see him on, immediately on either show. I don't, honestly, again, my own gut feeling, I feel like he's not going anywhere. I think he's going to buy into the hype and, the belief that one day he'll be a big star for Vince McMahon, and maybe he will be. Maybe he'll prove everybody wrong, but I fear for his future if he stays in that company, and I don't think he's going anywhere. I feel like Adam Cole is going to stay right where he is. I'd love to be wrong on that, though. Mark is the Entertainer. Favorite CM Punk match? Oh, probably Money in the Bank 2011 against John Cena. Great match. Love the atmosphere in Chicago for that match. One of the reasons why I'm looking forward to the show tomorrow night. Just the whole atmosphere in Chicago. But Punk and Cena, Money in the Bank 2011. And then number two might just be Punk and Brock Lesnar. No holds barred. SummerSlam 2013. That was my pick. I believe that was my pick for match of the year in 2013 on the podcast. King Bling. New perk idea, Solo Monster Backstage, where you give members an inside look at you preparing for a show or a post-show review, segments and an inside look. I would definitely consider that. That is not a bad idea. Always open to new ideas. Don't ever feel like you can't make a suggestion. C-Lab, I think I may have, I almost missed C-Lab. We'll listen to the stream tomorrow at work. I just wanted to catch you live. Been enjoying the podcast since 2015. C-Lab, thank you very much. This will be up in the archives for you tomorrow, and I'm going to try to get the audio pushed out to the feed as well by mid-morning tomorrow. Fawaz. Hi, Jason, keep it up. The sign is getting prepared. Ah, the sign, yes. Only he and I know what he means by that. I will watch for the sign. Like Ace of Base. See how many of you get that reference. Fred the Shed, buy or sell, AEW or Lucha Underground? Man, oh, you're putting me on the spot, huh? Two totally different types of shows. Lucha Underground was a television show that was sort of wrapped in the cloak of wrestling with all the sci-fi elements mixed into it. I really enjoyed Lucha Underground. I'm still bummed it never got a proper ending. But I'd have to go AEW. It's great to have a competing company that puts on a product that you can enjoy on TV. You know, SmackDown has hit or miss weeks. Raw is consistently shit. And I cannot remember the last time I actually looked forward to sitting down and watching Monday Night Raw. It makes me sad. It really does, because it's a fall from grace for a show that used to be must-see appointment television, I think for a lot of us. AEW lately, with everything that's been going on, it's been a lot of fun to watch, but it's been a lot of fun to cover as well, like as a content creator. So at the moment, I would have to buy on AEW. AEW is far bigger than Lucha Underground ever was. Marek, roommate is new to wrestling and never has seen a Punk match. What are some of his best matches that you would recommend to show to a wrestling newbie? Well, I just mentioned two of them. John Cena, CM Punk, Money in the Bank 2011. Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, SummerSlam 2013. Make sure you watch CM Punk against Daniel Bryan at the Over the Limit pay-per-view in May of 2012 for the WWE title. I love that match. That was a great match. CM Punk and The Undertaker had the best match on WrestleMania 29. So I would say Punk and Undertaker that year is another one. Boy, I'm trying to think. It's been so long since I've thought about best CM Punk matches. Those would be the main ones off the top of my head. I'm sure if I had time, I could think of a few other recommendations to throw out there to you. But those are the ones that stand out. You watch those, kind of wet your beak with that. I think you show that to somebody, you show that to your roommate, I think they'll enjoy that. Yeah, Punk and Jericho at Extreme Rules in 2012 was another one. That's right, Punk and... Not their WrestleMania match. I was there for that. Their match the following month, April of 2012. CM Punk against Chris Jericho. That was very good. King Bling, why don't you do live reactions? Easier or harder? I feel like it would be harder. I just feel like there would be a lot of dead air. I mean, is there really an appeal in watching? Because I can't play any of the audio. I can't show any of the video on the stream. You know, I don't know. If there was enough interest in it, I'm certainly open to trying it once and seeing how it goes. I kind of like the idea of just, you know, watching it and then just doing a more complete review. Maybe there's an audience for it. Maybe there's a big enough audience for it. I feel like there just would be too much dead air, though. You know? But, you know, then again, during commercials, you read super chats and stuff to kill time. Now, maybe. Maybe we'll try it one of these days. Pillow v. Pillow. Better Don't Turn Around song. Ace of Base or After the Fire? I'm an Ace of Base fan. So Ace of Base would get my vote. Coggies. If Punk really shows up tomorrow, what is your prediction for how? I feel like an oh my god reveal at the end in response to someone making an open challenge. Well, we talked about this on the Dynamite stream last night, which I think you were there, but if you weren't, they announced that Daniel Garcia is going to be wrestling Jon Moxley in the main event tomorrow night. And that got me a little curious because it's a great spot for a young kid like Daniel Garcia to be in, but you know, why is that the main event of the show, right? Unless they have something big planned. Daniel Garcia and 2.0 were attacking Sting and Darby Allin last night. Darby Allin is the one who has been dropping these hints of best in the world. I want the best in the world. I want to be the best in the world. So I could see a scenario where there's a lot of interference at the end of that match. 2.0 gets involved. You know, I don't know if Eddie Kingston is there, if he'll come out to try to help out Moxley. But here comes Darby Allin, and again, maybe there's just a whole bunch of people who are out there, and there's just a big beatdown going on where all the baby faces are just being overwhelmed. And then you've got an entire building, 14,000 people chanting CM Punk's name, and then boom, his music hits, he takes his time coming out, soaks up the reaction, gets in there, joins with the baby faces, starts to clean house, the building is going nuts. Maybe it ends with a stare down with Punk and Darby to tease a match it all out. That's one idea. The other idea is that if Chris Jericho is done for a while, because he lost clean, basically, to MJF last night, there really is no need to rematch them at All Out. And I hope to God that he's not on commentary again tomorrow. Can you imagine Chris Jericho back on commentary tomorrow night after he was yelling and screaming and talking over everybody last week? Punk comes out. This is CM Punk's big return, and all you hear is Jericho shouting. When Punk comes out, I'm kind of hoping the announcers lay out. If it's a simple like introduction where he just walks out, I don't want to hear Excalibur going, "It's CM Punk!" and doing, you know, his weird enunciations of words that he does. You know, Punk with a tope suicida! You know, like, shut the fuck up and just let the moment breathe. Chris Jericho didn't even take a breath for some of the matches last week. Chris Jericho shouldn't be on the show tomorrow night. I'm hoping the loss to MJF is the last we see of him for a while. I think if anybody could benefit from going away for a while and then coming back, it's Chris Jericho. But what I was getting at is that MJF now would have no opponent for All Out. So maybe these Darby teases, it's not a Darby Punk match, but maybe Darby wants to, you know, confront the best in the world. MJF comes out. You're looking at him. I just beat Chris Jericho on Wednesday. I'm the best in the world. And then that leads to CM Punk arriving. And maybe the match is Punk and MJF. So I see it as one of those two scenarios. I'd rather it be Punk and Darby. I think that's just a cool babyface against babyface attraction that they could do it all out. Darby isn't hurt if he loses. Punk and MJF is a program that really should go on for an extended period of time. I don't know that I would rush right into that. You're going to have plenty of time. I don't know how long of a contract he signed. I'm sure he's not in just for a few matches. Punk and MJF is a program that you can make money on. And if they go to All Out, Punk's going to win. Punk can't lose in that first match in 2 weeks if he's going to wrestle on that show. So to send him in there to beat MJF, you know, just like that, I don't like that idea. I'd rather it be him and Darby. Tony Khan said there is a major announcement on Rampage tomorrow on Twitter. Huh. I assume that is the whatever the Punk match is. I mean, that seems to me that would be the major announcement. IG the King, thank you for the $1.99. Top five best SummerSlam matches of the last decade. Well, I can't sit here and do a rank list on the spot like that because I'm sure I'm going to leave out stuff. But in the last decade, some of my favorite SummerSlam matches in no particular order would be the two main events from 2013. Punk and Lesnar, Cena and Bryan, both great fucking five-star matches. Lesnar and Cena, where Cena got annihilated by Lesnar, I loved it. I loved it. That was from 2014. That's on my list. Trying to think. Oh, 2016. John Cena and AJ Styles. I was at that show. Great match. AJ beat Cena clean in the middle of the ring. Great match. One of the best SummerSlam matches. Not just in the last decade. One of the best SummerSlam matches, period, was John Cena and AJ Styles from 2016. I'm trying to think what else I might be missing here. Charlotte and Trish had a really good match in 2019. I don't know if I would say best SummerSlam matches. They had a pretty good match. You know, it's sad. I can't even remember what the matches were last year at SummerSlam. What was the main event last year at SummerSlam? It was Drew and Randy Orton, and what was the other one? Oh, it was The Fiend and Bray Wyatt. That's right. And Roman Reigns returned. Yeah, no, we're not counting any of those. Evan Watson, thanks for recommending the Bret Owen 94 cage match from SummerSlam. Watched it for the first time a few years ago. Brilliant match. It is the best steel cage match that WWE has ever done. Not a drop of blood, but it is the best regular steel cage match the company has ever done. I love that match. And I cringe every time I see that great superplex spot where Bret suplexes Owen from the top of the cage, and it's these old school WWF rings that don't have any give to them at all. So when he lands on the mat doesn't move. Like, he doesn't bounce. It's like he lands on concrete. So that makes it even more devastating to watch than a superplex today, which I'm sure doesn't feel great. Although guys now, they pop right up from superplexes and they go into the Falcon Arrows, and it's like, dude, you just got superplexed. At least, you know, pretend to sell the move. But those rings, they all talk about how they were like concrete. They didn't move. And it wasn't until Vince McMahon, as the story goes, it wasn't until 98 or 99 when Vince McMahon started wrestling and started taking bumps. He's like, holy shit, this ring hurts. It's like, no shit. All of a sudden, the rings got softer. Meanwhile, for years, these guys were getting all crippled up having to wrestle on these hard-ass rings. Mr. Mason dropping $2. Your favorite WrestleMania moment? moment, huh? Not match. I am very, very partial to the Macho Man Elizabeth reunion at the end of Savage's match at WrestleMania 7. I'm mad enough to admit I always get a little emotional when I watch that back, even to this very day. That is a great, great moment. If you grew up on Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, it don't get no better than that. As far as moments go, that would be pretty high up there. Paul Heyman says, if only Adam Cole had the size of a Karrion Kross. Thank you, Road Dogg. Benoit Eddie. Yeah, Benoit Eddie was a great moment. Now it's just depressing to go back and watch that. Lesnar killing Orton at SummerSlam. You know what? I didn't like that as much. Didn't think it was a very good match. Didn't like it. Not a fan. Randy cashing in on Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam was great. Yeah, everything about that was great. I didn't have any issue with them doing that big swerve where they took the belt right off Bryan after he won it. With that Money in the Bank thing, Triple H pedigrees him. I thought that whole thing was great. Magician Sapphire, how would you rebuild Drew McIntyre to get him back over? It's just about getting him in the ring with the right people. I mean, I think he actually might... You may have to go back heel with him again. I don't know. Part of me wonders if the babyface Drew McIntyre is played out at this point. You know, if he wouldn't benefit maybe from a harder edge. Otherwise, I think it's just getting him in the ring with fresh faces that we haven't seen him in the ring with before. But, you know, to the point I was making before about, like, a Keith Lee. We saw them wrestle for the title on Raw at the beginning of the year. But if you wanted to do a program between them, I'm not so sure the fans would take to Drew in that program as the babyface. So it's possible that his future, you know, on his road to kind of getting back to babyface prominence, he might have to go heel first. Marcus the Entertainer, how would you crown trios champions in AEW? I would have a tournament. It's one of the best ways to crown a new champion, right? You could do a battle royal or you could do a tournament. The problem is they do a lot of these like eliminator tournaments, so I wouldn't do it right now. They're actually doing a tag team tournament as we speak. But yeah, you probably do a tournament on TV. You have plenty of trios combos in this company, so you know the choices are kind of endless. It'd be a very long tournament if you put every trio combination in there. Thunder Knight. Buy or sell on bigger disappointing SummerSlam match. Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect 93, or Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton in 2016. Shawn Michaels and Mr. Perfect in 93. There was a lot of hype and enthusiasm heading into that match, which I know by going back and looking at old RSPW posts. And there will be a new RSPW rewind soon, by the way. But that was a match, you know, Perfect and Michaels. And Michaels wasn't really at his peak at that point. This was still young, you know, baby fat Shawn Michaels. But that match should have been a hell of a lot better than it was. And it just didn't work. Had a shit finish, too. But just the match itself, it just wasn't up to the expectations of what you would expect the Mr. Perfect Shawn Michaels match to be. Now, compare that match to the match Perfect and Bret Hart had 2 months before at the King of the Ring, which is one of my favorite matches. That's the difference between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Thank you very much. There you go. I rest my case. Oh. Somebody in the chat says they could do a Drew and Jinder beheading at the next Saudi Arabia show. They may as well. I mean, they keep doing stuff with this stupid sword. I mean, either it's leading to a beheading or just get rid of the frickin' thing. I mean, what's the point of it? It's just ridiculous at this point. Fred the Shed, what is the biggest moment in wrestling that was spoiled for you? I could not watch WrestleMania 30 live, and people spoiled that the streak was beaten by Brock Lesnar. Well, I think I've told the story before about how I knew who was going to win the 1992 Royal Rumble before it happened. I was still in school at the time. And I'll tell it really quickly, but on the at recess, go downstairs, and there's a phone booth. For all you young kids out there, there used to be a thing called a phone booth. You had to go to a pay phone, actually put money in the phone to make a call. So there was a phone booth in the lobby, and a bunch of the kids in my class were like piled into this phone booth. I mean, it was like overflowing with people. And I naturally was curious, so I went over to find out what they were doing, and I come to find out they had called a wrestling hotline. This is back in 92. They called a wrestling hotline, and I remember Keith Shatt was his name. And he puts the phone down. He goes, "Ric Flair is going to win the Royal Rumble." And they're all like buzzing about it. And I'm like, huh, interesting. So I go to my grandfather's house to watch the pay-per-view that weekend. And he asks me, "Oh, who's going to win? Who's going to win the match?" I go, "Ric Flair." He's like, "No, Hogan's going to win." And I think my father thought like Savage or Hogan or somebody. So when Flair won, I felt like the smartest guy in the room. That was my first exposure to the dirt sheets and the hotlines, you know, back in the day. I didn't know it at the time, but so that was kind of a spoiler. I guess I kind of knew in advance, you know, who was going to win the Royal Rumble. Mr. Mason says he feels bad for Marcus that Solomonster didn't respond to it. I just read his super chat. What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. I literally just read his super chat. He says, "How would you crown trios champions?" He didn't ask who, he asked how. And I said, a tournament. Is there another one here that I missed? I don't believe so. Literally just answered it. HBKC83, is Bobby Roode being misused? Would you have him as a top heel champion on either brand if you were running your own organization? No, I wouldn't. I think Bobby Roode's time has come and gone. I enjoyed his work in NXT when they had him as the champion there. I don't see him as a WWE champion or Universal champion. There are people in the company who are better than him. And I don't see him at that level. Now, could they be doing something as a single and not just him and Dolph Ziggler? Could he be kind of like old school heel Bobby Roode, but maybe as the Intercontinental Champion? Yeah, that I could see. But not as the top guy on a brand. I feel like his time has come and gone. I don't think they brought him into the main roster to be in that role. What are my future plans for Elias? If I were Elias, I would be very concerned. They're taking his guitar. They're taking his gimmick away from him. That's not good when people are being cut left and right. I'd shut my phone off and put it away if I were him. Because that's what I think his future holds. Mason, it's all good, man. You must have missed it. Coggies with the $2. Fear Street Trilogy was worth a watch. Good music. Yes, I've watched part one. I've not had time to watch part two because of all the friggin' work I've been doing. So I still have to watch part two and part three. But I enjoyed part one. And like you, the music. I like that as well. Bobby was money. I enjoyed, look, I was watching Impact at the time that he turned heel and he smashed the beer bottle over James Storm's head, and I was at a lot of those tapings when they would come to the Manhattan Center. I had gotten back into Impact for a while. They were doing good. They were doing good, and then they fell off, and that was it. I was pretty much done with them at that point. What is my favorite wrestling album? When they released Full Metal in 96, that was a big deal. Full Metal, the album, that was like WWF, the music, volume one, basically. Thorn in Your Eye, We're All Together Now, Bret Hart's music, Goldust, Sid, Razor Ramon was on there, I think. That album kicked ass. And Evan Watson. Christian against Del Rio had a great match in SummerSlam 2013. Please don't hate me. Oh, actually, you know, you remind me. I missed the match. How could I forget? Randy Orton and Christian from SummerSlam in 2011 for the World Heavyweight Championship. Great fucking match. Great, great, great match. Rapid wants to know, can we get your RF video shoot thoughts on pork chops? Pork chops are okay. I don't have them a lot. But I've never had a bad pork chop. There was a wrestler once called Pork Chop Cash. So I have nothing against pork chops. Joseph Brooks, would you make the case for Trish and Edge as the best final years in WWE, being that they both retired as champions? I mean, you could say that, but I'd have to go back and look at their body of work over that year. I mean, yeah, just because they retired as champion doesn't mean they had a great year. They would probably be in the conversation, though. And Paul Heyman, do you think Eddie Edwards could have been a bigger star if he had a WWE run? No. I cannot envision Eddie Edwards being somebody that Vince McMahon would have pushed at any high level, anywhere near the main event. I cannot envision a scenario where it plays out that way. I kind of look at Roderick Strong the same way in NXT. Very talented, but if he ever goes to the main roster, he's done. He is finished. Adam Cole has a better shot at getting over him, having a meaningful role on the main roster than Roderick Strong does. So I think we're good, man. I think we're all... There's a lot of good questions from you guys, man. This is just a sample of what you get when we do these video Q&As for members only. So we picked up a lot of members tonight, too. I want to thank everybody who signed up. I think we picked up at least four or five tonight alone. So you guys are showing me the love, which is great, because we're only two streams in so far. I'm already beat, but we got three more to go. Tomorrow night is going to be a lot of fun. Tomorrow night is going to be very special, and not just because CM Punk is back, but because of what it represents for AEW. And I think if you are an AEW fan, you are very excited about what is to come tomorrow. I think packing 14,000 people into an NBA arena is a major milestone for them. It's something that they have not done before. For that reason alone, I think there is reason to be excited about what the future holds, and we still haven't seen Bryan Danielson. We don't know where, you know, where or when Ruby Soho, if you're a fan of her work and, you know, her joining the women's division, maybe it all out. If they're going to have a women's battle royal, she could be the mystery entrant. There's a lot of really fun stuff coming up. I hope you guys will join me for all of it. I'll be here to cover every single thing that happens. I'm here every Wednesday for Dynamite. You guys know that. And I'll be live with you tomorrow night immediately after Rampage. So we're not doing a SmackDown review. Well, if something big happens on SmackDown, maybe we'll talk about it during the Rampage thing or in the Super Chats. But we're doing Rampage tomorrow night. And then we are doing SummerSlam on Saturday night. We are doing NXT TakeOver on Sunday. And then I'm going to try to get some sleep. Try being the operative word, because then we got to wake up on Monday morning and we got to start preparing for 7:19, because the work never ends. But as long as you guys keep coming back and keep supporting, hit that thumbs up on the videos, because that helps. That's all I can ask for. This channel has seen some pretty amazing growth this month alone. Our August has been excellent, and I want to end this month on a high note. So come on back tomorrow night, again, 11 p.m., live on YouTube. Until then, be well, stay safe. Edward in the chat wants to know my favorite Shawn Michaels moment of all time. Oh. Oh. These questions. I mean, he's had a lot of moments in this company. I could say when he cried on television about his knee injury and claimed that his smile had been lost. I could talk about, there's been any number of Shawn Michaels moments, and I don't know that there's just one. I always think of the WrestleMania match with The Undertaker in 2009. I don't know if that satisfies your answer. That's a match, not a moment. But anyway, be well, stay safe. I will see you guys back here tomorrow night for AEW Rampage and the debut of CM Punk. And if it's not CM Punk, I'll come on here tomorrow night and shave my head. He'll be there tomorrow night. I guarantee it. All right, I'm out of here. Take care, guys.